como atalayas que somos de nuestro Señor y Salvador Jesucristo, tocamos fuerte la trompeta. Con mensajes de alerta, somos Aplastado Podcast.
What does it say? Father, if it be possible, may this cup pass away from me. But if I drink it, then thy will be done. What was in that cup? I've told a story before, I'll tell you again. In the largest church I pastored, I was in my 20s. And it was at the Tabernacle in Oldham, outside of Manchester. And going down the street one day, as it was 5 minutes of five, I remember, and as I went past the door of this very humble kind of place, this lady put her head out and said, "I know who you are, you're the pastor at the Tabernacle." I said, "That's right. I've been to the Tabernacle, I usually sit at the back. I'm very poor, and I can't have anything to put in your offering." I said, "All right." And she said, you come in my house and have a cup of tea." I said, "No, I'm sorry, it's 5 minutes of five, and I'm due for tea, as we say in England, or supper at 5 o'clock. "No, that's not the reason. That's not the reason. You won't be coming because I'm poor. And it isn't a nice house like some of your folk are." I'll come in. I went in. Kind of a house you go in and hold your nose as you go in, you know. I've been in some pigsties of a house, but never one like that, I'll tell you that. I sat down at the table, and there was just about this much space to get from the door, the front door, and it was all stacked up with books. She bought them at a junk shop down the road. She'd read thousands of them. The table was full. And there's a little space at the sink, and then there was a big sink. It was piled up with dishes. She hadn't had a washing up of dishes, I'm sure, for months. And there's a nice piece of bacon, and it was all green and mouldy, you know. Real appetizing kind of thing. What do you call that stuff you get off mould? Penicillin. She'd $50 worth of penicillin on that thing, I'm sure. And she didn't even know. She said, "You do drink tea?" I said, "Yes." She said, "All right." And she had a teapot that had been white once, and it was all messed up on the outside, and she reached in the sink and took a cup out that was all slimy on the outside, and as I looked in, it had tea leaves and some corruption in the bottom. And she just took that black tea and she poured it in that cup. And she said, "Do you take cream?" I said, "Yes, I do." She said, "I don't have any." "Do you take sugar?" "Yeah, I don't have any." You know, as she held, her fingernails were all in mourning. They were covered with dirt, and she held that filthy cup out with that rotten, cold tea, with no sugar, no cream, no anything. And I looked at it, and I shrunk off from it, you know. She said, "Drink it." You know, as I put my hand out to take that cup, right there, I've never forgotten it, my mind just went 2,000 miles away from England to a place called, at that time, Palestine, and 2,000 years back to this man in the garden when the Father said, "Drink it. Drink it." Well, that's enough to lay us out, surely. He's the essence of purity. He's the essence of holiness. He was harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners, and yet he takes the most horrible thing this world has ever had, symbolic of all the sin of all the ages. You can mention it, all the physical corruption, lesbianism, every lousy, rotten, corrupt thing that sends men to jail, that makes men rot in their bodies. Every vicious thing, the pride and the anger and all the other things, the sins of the flesh, the sins of the spirit, and they're all there, and he took that cup. There was nobody there to sustain him. except, of course, again, the Father. And the men that he trained were all lying around snoring. That's the thing that got to me. The more I studied it, the more I meditated over it today. Don't blame them, for heaven's sake, don't criticize those disciples. They never had a volume of 66 books on the lap. They were still doubtful in their minds. I'm sure that he would rise from the dead. What kind of a judgment do you think the church is going to have when we get to the judgment seat with all the knowledge we have and all the light we have and all the versions we have? Why did he do it? Why did he do it? He did it for this reason. He said right through his life, all that he did, everything he did, pleased the Father. And you remember the verse that says, for the joy that was set before him, he suffered the cross, despising the shame. Now, I don't believe he had any joy in hanging on a cross. This is the ultimate goal why I came into the world, that I might please the Father. It's the only way that redemption could be completed. So Jesus waited patiently while they slept in the most critical hour of his life. You may not agree with me, that's all right, but I believe that's exactly what the church is doing now in the most critical hour since she was founded. She's sleeping and therefore failing her Lord in this most critical of all critical hours in history. You may not, you're much younger, you've got hotter blood maybe, but it does not alter the fact. I guarantee you could count on one hand, or maybe one finger, the last time you came out of the sanctuary where you were subdued with the glory of God. You were awed with His majesty. It's critical, really, that millions of people this Sabbath day will go to God's house, but they don't know the person that owns the house. Would you go and knock at somebody's door, a house you didn't know, you knock at the door, the fellow says, what do you want? I don't really know. Who are you? Well, I live in this house. And yet people are content to go Sunday after Sunday and never meet the owner of the house. Just atmosphere, just emotion. I think we get fascinated with events rather than the Son of God himself. If you're more excited about the coming of Jesus than you are about the presence of Jesus, you better do some thinking. It's His presence that matters. You know, I tried to filter through this afternoon and say to myself, if I had just a 10-minute speech out of the Word of God, what would it be? Well, my choice would be this. I'm not sure I could bear it, but at least I'd ask for it. And I would ask to hear the prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I think it's the most wonderful thing that human lips ever uttered. You know, these brave, we've all done it. All to Jesus, I surrender. We've sung it over and over, and then during the week when it's a choice between this and that, we choose that, not Him. Prayer meeting? Well, not tonight, it's wet. Some other choice. How easy it is to be apparently sincere and yet really hardly knowing our own hearts, because it's emotion that stirs us to say, yes, Lord, look, all this bunch, you can't trust Thomas, you know, he's got a streak of doubt in him, and John's a bit weak, but me, Peter, I can meet them all. So if you get into a jam, you know this, that Peter is behind you all the way. Well, he wasn't, was he? Now, this is a non-repeated, it's an unrepeated act, like everything Jesus did. The virgin birth has never been repeated. Gethsemane has never been repeated, and it is unrepeatable. It never will happen again. Doesn't have to happen. And then the death of Jesus is unrepeatable, and the resurrection. And they're sleeping. Dear Lord, I As I read this again and I thought how he waited for them, he could hear them maybe snoring and turning over and thinking, yes, another hour, maybe another hour, and the daylight will come. And you'll wake up, you've been through the most amazing night in history, and it passed over you like that. And you know, I think we're doing the same thing very much in the church. Just Sunday again, so we go to church Sunday morning. Oh, we've a lovely choir and a nice pastor, and we'll have a nice time. I've said to you before, and I say it to myself often, I believe the perennial challenge of a believer is this: come down from the cross and save yourself. Other people are not fasting like you fast. Other people don't spend as much time in prayer. Other people don't husband their money and use it and give it to missions. Other people are not investing for eternity like you are. Why be the oddball? Everybody in church says you're a nice person, but they think you're a fanatic. Behind, they say, she's gone overboard. You notice nobody ever says you can get too rich. No one says you can get too well educated. But oh, be careful you don't get to be too spiritual. See, the main trouble if you get too spiritual is you'll show how unspiritual they are. And that's what they're afraid of. They're not afraid of your spirituality so much as the fact that they're a kind of a withered branch that hasn't got any fruit. How many times do you wake up in the morning, even Sabbath day or any day, and say, he's risen, he's alive, and because he's alive, I shall live today? Don't blame the world for not believing it. Every day should be a celebration. We're none of the world. Oh, dear, 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 how earthbound we get. We think on the level of others so often. But you see, we're getting away, we're so getting tied up with gifts, and you go to some meetings, all you hear is prophecy, 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 miracles, miracles, miracles. And all the time we're missing the most essential things. Miracles won't save you. Prophecy won't come to you in a time of trouble. It's the Son of God himself that we need to know. Not the doctrine of the Son of God, the person of the Son of God. If you sing all to Jesus, I surrender, maybe he'll come back and see you do surrender it too. You may have to surrender some friendship. You may have to surrender a career. It may be he'll wreck all the things that for years you've thought about as being the very thing God wants you to do, and you suddenly find it isn't. It's something you wanted to do for God, not something that God wanted to do for him. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. God has some marvelous saints hidden away. And you know, I want to get the best, not just for my own sake. I want to do that pleases the Father. And if you go to a Gethsemane, remember, he'll bring you through. If everybody fails you, it's lonely. Loneliness is bad enough, but when it's pitch dark, it's worse. And when you're deserted by the best folk, that complicates it a little bit further. And when you think people are spiritual and you suddenly find they're a crisis hour, they're worse than anybody else, that's good. That's according to the book. Don't worry about it.
Este programa fue presentado por Aplastado Podcast, porque como atalayas que somos de nuestro Señor y Salvador Jesucristo, tocamos fuerte la trompeta. Con mensajes de alerta y sin ningún temor, porque si Dios con nosotros, ¿quién contra nosotros?